Between 2016 and 2018, according to a 2021 study by Carnegie Mellon University researchers, wildfires likely contributed to the increase, as did lackluster enforcement during former President Trump's first 2 years in office. The increase in PM2.5, which is smaller than 1/30th the width of a human hair and thus able to enter organs, including the brain, through the bloodstream, resulted in 9,700 additional premature deaths, according to the study. Another study published in July 2020 in the journal Science shows that advancements in pollution control are not happening equitably in terms of spatial distribution. The groups of people who were most exposed to pollution in 1981 are largely the same groups who were most exposed in 2016, the authors explain. More populated, wider, higher income, and less Hispanic areas at baseline in 1981 are associated with reductions in PM2.5 percentile ranking levels over time, the study explains. While poorer, less white, and less educated census tracts saw increases in percentile ranking over the same years. Given ongoing disparities, individuals and organizations have taken it upon themselves to do what they can to clean up the air. Haven Coleman is a 15-year-old climate activist who organized the first weekly climate strikes in the U.S. in early 2019. Coleman lives in Denver, Colorado, which ranks in the 10 most ozone-polluted U.S. cities according to the American Lung Association's annual State of the Air report. Ozone, the main ingredient in smog, forms as a result of chemical reaction when volatile organic compounds mix with the nitrous oxide in the presence of sunlight. Ozone often shows up downwind from where the original pollutants were emitted and is a powerful lung irritant. In many U.S. cities and towns, access to granular neighborhood-level data is still lacking, and relying on broad calculations like average PM2.5 levels across full states or cities obscures the impacts of harmful exposure to residents on a certain street. In West Oakland, the study found half of childhood asthma cases are linked to nitrogen dioxide from traffic-related air pollution, in comparison with only 1 in 5 cases of childhood asthma in the predominantly white Oakland Hills. Still, neither individuals nor private companies are capable of coordinating the vast scale of change needed to avert the most dangerous impacts of the climate emergency, which include the worsening of health.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamite, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, His word Quran, Muhammad, praise be upon, I am Muslim.
by the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, other life forms, you are listening to one and only Youth Station, brought to you by IRB English Radio. I am Zainab, and...
By the way, I'm Mehdi. So I hope you've got enough energy to listen to us, because we are pulling up some energy to be able to speak over here, because, you know, we're fasting. Why do you fast?
I haven't fasted in 5 years.
Oh, Allah,
you've revealed me. You've exposed me.
Why did you fast before six years ago?
Because Allah said so. That's the only reason I need to have. Allah said so.
How do you know He did?
What?
How do you know He did?
He says in the Quran.
How do you know that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent the Quran?
Oh, are we going to get that deep into it?
Yeah, we're going to get deep into
it. I'm too hungry. I don't fast, but it's not like I get to blatantly eat everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm just as hungry as you are. But how do we know that...
I'm not hungry. I'm just thirsty, by the way.
Yeah, talking a lot does that. Are we having a philosophical question about how do we know the Quran was sent by Allah?
Yeah.
We just got to believe, I guess. I really don't know.
Oh, come on. Don't be a Christian priest.
You either have to believe in the premises that goes into believing in Allah.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to explain those...
All of that.
Yeah, point towards it at least.
Because those who came before this said it would happen, and it just happened, and it makes sense. In a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? Why not have a creator, an all-beneficent, all-knowing creator for this universe, who loves us and wants us to be good?
Yeah. No, that's a different... debate in terms of, like, I was just strictly talking about the Quran, but like having a creator is that's different, isn't it? It's a bit different.
It really is. So what's with your sudden thing with the Quran? Aside from the fact that it's the month of Ramadan and, you know, Quran is important.
Yeah, because isn't it the creator talking to us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through words and symbols and scriptures.
Yeah. That's actually why this I brought this up. Is why do you think it's not that everyone gets his own direct live face to face? I'm not gonna say creator. I'm gonna say Quran.
Uh-huh.
Why is it not that, like, okay, the creator wants to talk to you. He talks to you via...
That's not very practical, isn't it?
Why isn't it? If
like, kajillions and kajillions of people came and went, and Allah was supposed to send, like, a specific set of words and instructions for each of them.
No. I'm saying an audio one, for example. Like, I'm sitting here, and I've got a Quran that I can talk to. Why does it have to be a book that I can read? Instead, why is it not some entity that I just chat with? Imagine me, right?
Right.
Imagine that I'm a Quran.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord. Did I actually say that?
Uh-huh.
Imagine that I'm a Quran. Like, this is me, and I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me, and you've got questions and, like, things that Allah wants you to know. Mm. Why isn't it that I have something like that? It has to be something in my mind. It could be something in the subconscious. It could be something that you can only see and not me. But every individual could have something like that instead of a book that's...
I think there's a very importance. There's an actual objective behind the concept of scripture.
Okay.
Especially because it's this repetitive theme throughout all religions almost. They have scriptures to turn to, whether it brings a sense of, you know, solidarity, whether it's considered as the religion's miracle, which was the case with Islam. Why Quran was sent to a degree, though that's not the only objective behind the Quran. But there's this philosophy, something behind it actually being a holy scripture, writings on paper.
Right, so when you're saying writings on paper and you said philosophy, you're moving your hands.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Even me right now, when I was trying to say something and I'm trying to emphasize my hands, they're just doing something. There's something that I don't know how it's said in English. It's wad'i, right? It's decreed and then it's like, for example, it's understood that the red light means you stop, and the white, the green light means that you can go, right? So
you're talking that certain things are symbols for certain other things.
Yeah, right. And for example, like if my eyebrows are like this, and like
that's a sign and an indication that he's confused, he's angry, he's frowning, he's stressed, whatever.
Yeah, you're thinking. Yeah, the most important thing that you've missed out. But what I'm saying is, so do you think that there are certain things, symbols, for example, that are universal and others aren't so universal?
No. Really? Well, actually, the only universal symbol I can think of is the bathroom symbols. It's the gentleman's bathroom. It's going to be a dude with a round head and the arms. And it's the lady's bathroom. She's going to have a skirt on, which a lot of people are debating nowadays because I'm like... Oh. But no, even red roses. Somewhere red roses is a symbol of death and somewhere it's a symbol of passion.
What I'm trying to come to is that when everything around us is like a symbol, everything
it
literally
really is,
right? For example, can you tell me the symbol in the doorknob? It symbolizes your will to open.
Oh wow, you're looking at it really, really deeply now.
If you're talking about symbols, right, then right, it just symbolizes your will to open something, your will to close something, your will to lock something up.
But then again, are we talking about symbol here, or are we talking about the capacity of something? Once there's a door there, obviously it means that I have that area has the capacity to be opened and closed. But when we talk about actual symbols, like the symbol, the heart symbol, that's pretty universal too. Everywhere you go, that heart means love, means affection, means compassion. It looks nothing like the actual heart's anatomy, but it symbolizes love, right? And like people do it with their fingers, people do it with their anything. Anyway, that really means that we have a concept in our mind. That concept is too complicated. This is what I understand from symbols. That concept is too complicated or too long. We're going to shorten it like an abbreviation into signs on the paper whenever someone sees it, wherever, it will lead their mind to that concept, like the heart. But I don't feel that way toward the doorknob. The doorknob just means capacity.
So you're talking about symbols, literally, you're talking about this is a symbol,
actual
this
symbols,
being a symbol. Yeah,
actually.
But for example, you say something, right, and I'm like, oh, this symbolizes...
There are two meanings. This is usually your job. I'm doing it anyway because you're tired. It's okay. I understand.
Yeah, you're very understanding.
Symbol. A mark or character used as a conventional representation of an object, function, or process. Example. The letter or letters standing for a chemical element or a character in musical notation. The other meaning of symbol, a thing that represents or stands for something else, especially a material object representing something abstract. The limousine was another symbol of his wealth and authority, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the second meaning of symbol.
Yeah.
While I'm talking about the first. But we have symbols. Like, if we want to talk about, like, the symbol of Islam. I don't know if you guys have ever lived in non-Islamic countries. You have. Bro has. In certain regions in the world, especially Southeast Asian countries, when you see a moon and a star on a restaurant or a stall, you know
just a
that
crescent,
they're Muslim.
Yeah.
That's the symbol.
Crescent. Just
a
crescent.
Or crescent, yeah. That's actually that and the lantern are symbols. But you know what's more...
Isn't lantern for Ramadan?
Yeah. That's what's more interesting is the origin of these symbols. Do you know what the origin of the lantern symbol for the month of Ramadan is? It's the fanus in some Arab countries. They would light it to, you know, light the path of people during the night who wanted to wake each other up for suhoor. And it just stuck.
Yeah,
isn't that beautiful? Like, one of the most beautiful countries during Ramadan is Egypt, because all the streets are lit with the fanus.
No way. I need to visit that place.
We should. After COVID, inshallah, we're going to travel so bad.
Yeah, if you've got the money.
That airlines are going to be filthy rich. Think of other symbols.
I'm more into the other symbol definition that you mentioned.
Talk to me.
So, what was I saying before you so glamorously interrupted me?
Do I care? No, I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. This thing is a symbol of, it means it's like an indication. It symbolizes.
Yeah. So, everything has a symbol. For example, the doorknob had a symbol and your will to open. And the question I asked you was like, do you think that everything is universal, or there are some certain symbols? When I say symbol, again, I'm going to specify that things that are leading towards something abstract, something that's physical, material, that leads towards something abstract. And which is why the first question that I asked you was like, why...
Do I fast?
No, yeah, about the Quran,
how
do you know the Quran? Yeah, exactly. Do you think that it's something universal within the inner fitrah?
Is inner nature.
It's something nature. There's another word.
Innate
nature. Of every human being to realize this set of words to be a symbol towards, symbol of.
No, I don't think we can prove that for the Quran. It's not innate for us to understand that this set of words leads to something divine. But the fact that manuscripts exist leads us to wonder about something beyond it.
Yeah, but like, doesn't that undo the entire purpose of the Quran if that's not the case?
No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said the concept of Quran, having a scripture.
I'm not talking about having a scripture.
Believing in a scripture.
I'm talking about the Quran, that's it.
But the concepts within the Quran, some of them could be innate.
Yeah, they are. Like, there are so many things that are within the Quran that are innate. But about everything that is in the Quran, for example, when I talk to you like this, and I'm moving my hands, you understand one thing from it, right? But like, if we understood everything there is, for example, the tone that is being used in the book, the tone, like, is that universal, for example? No. Like, no?
Not at all. Often, I think it comes down to the internalized tone that we are used to talking to ourselves with, or we've been talked to as children. This is kind of like, I don't even want to get into the psychological aspect of it, but since you brought it up, it's very relative. Some people, I've had this personal experience, they listen to this verse and they're like, so good. And I'm like, why though? He's rebuking you, because that's how I was spoken to, or like any other given person was spoken to as a child. That was the sound of reprimand for them, and they can't really make a positive connection with it.
So I believe that, given that what you said, besides that, like, even taking all that into consideration, I believe that in the entire set of the book, the full book, for example, something was as you said, it's rebuking you, and that was a pleasuresome verse for someone else, right? But that could be the exact opposite in terms of another word, verse. You could find that pleasant and loving, and that same person could find that
rebuking,
right? So what I'm trying to point towards here is that the entire book, when you look at it entirely, for every individual, the entire set of it
symbolizes something. But I get you now. Yeah, even in the Quran, each story is a symbol of something. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't allocate an entire chapter about how a prophet was so gorgeous and his brothers were so jealous of him, and they tossed him into a well, and this woman at the palace fell heads over heels for him, and then he was imprisoned, and then he came out and he interpreted dreams so much until he became king. You know, I mean, you'd ask, but why? And then it symbolizes something else, and we need to crack the code.
You know, everything is a symbol, right?
Yep.
Why? Let me tell you why. Oh, wow, I sounded so boastful, wasn't it? For example, the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, right? And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The very first
verses of the Quran.
You know, because when you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it says that everything that is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand, everything that is a name. So everything that we see is a symbol of Allah's attributes.
Beautiful.
You know, about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli says that this is a full reason. It says, Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah. Why?
Because He is the Lord of the
Rabbil Alameen. So, yeah, everything that is around us is a symbol. Even the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, there was a symbol of the dar, like he's the one who puts you in stress. There was nafir, like he gives you
benefit.
He rescues you. All these everything that is in the Quran, everything that is around us, the doorknob is Fatih. You know,
the opener.
There is something over there, but yeah,
that points us toward him.
Yeah,
it's
everything.
An indicator, basically, a street sign of some sort.
Yeah.
That was deep. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you for being with us. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and let us start the day by listening to some thought-provoking statements from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, on the eve of his blessed birth anniversary. Asceticism is a desire for God-fearing and the abstinence from worldly pleasures, while clemency is the suppression of one's anger and self-possession.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The lights.
In a remote part of Pakistan, two sisters have come up with a unique idea to help children continue their education during pandemic-related school closures. A camel library. The mobile library visits four villages in Pakistan's largest province of Balochistan. Children borrow books and return them the next time the camel visits. The project was founded by a local high school principal and his sister. Rahima Jalal says she started the project because she wanted children around her remote hometown to continue learning despite schools being closed.
When the coronavirus spread, the entire region and all the schools were closed. There was an atmosphere of depression for old and young alike. The region where I live, there is no entertainment for children at all, no place for outings. The only activity is the children going to school and coming back home. After the schools had remained closed for 8 or 9 months due to COVID, we started wondering what we could do for the children. How could we start some sort of activity which would keep children busy and also be of some benefit to them?
Pakistan closed the schools early in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic and sent some 50 million school and university students home. The closures put children in Balochistan at particular risk of falling behind, as the province is Pakistan's most impoverished. Even though some schools have reopened, children in this region still have trouble accessing educational resources. NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter has successfully completed its third flight on the red planet while moving farther and faster than ever before. It was nothing short of amazing, says the Ingenuity Project's program executive. The drone covered 50 meters of distance, reaching the speed of nearly 2 meters per second. In its latest flight, the helicopter filmed 80 seconds of video, which are to be sent to Earth in the coming days. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration says similar flights are yet to come, with each planned to be of increasing difficulty in order to push Ingenuity to its limits. The experiment will end in 1 month in order to let Perseverance return to its main task, searching for signs of past microbial life on Mars.
When spring arrives, nature is lively and in bloom. This generous season brings with it merriment for humans and animals alike, as they can freely enjoy the greenery. A herd of cows in Sweden have gotten their first chance to graze in green open fields after being cooped up in their farms for the whole winter due to the harsh cold. The event was broadcast live so people could enjoy watching these happy animals springing around. Sweden's traditional cow release ceremony attracts thousands of visitors every year.
Barcelona's famous Casa Batlló has been decorated with hundreds of artificial red roses on the occasion of St. George's Day, a Christian celebration also known as the Feast of St. George. For those in Catalonia, the floral decoration of Antoni Gaudí's architectural masterpiece means the arrival of spring. Many locals say that after a year of lockdown amid pandemic, the decoration seems like a recovery for them. Catalans normally celebrate the occasion in large groups outdoors, But this year, COVID-19 has prevented their traditional way of celebrations. However, they say Casa Batel's roses have sparked a sense of enthusiasm that life is eventually going back to normal in some way. A Dutch photographer has captured stunning footage of a super yacht passing through narrow canals of the Netherlands. Tom van Usanen used a drone to record the transportation of the gigantic vessel from its initial facility to the North Sea. The 94 meters long yacht, known as Project 817, is one of the largest vessels to be launched this year. It has been designed to precisely fit the waterways, and even a few centimeters cannot be added to its length or width. The duration of the yacht's transportation also depends on a variety of factors, including winds and the schedule of the bridges. For this super yacht, the mission took 4 days to be completed. Space radar capable of capturing small objects that threaten the safety of astronauts and satellites has been inaugurated at a farm in northwestern Costa Rica. The four large panels that make up the radar are connected to the servers of an aerospace company in San Francisco in the U.S. state of California. The system uses a continuous series of radio frequencies that bounce off materials in orbit and send information back to the servers. An American astronaut present at the ceremony says the radar is most advanced of its kind in the world.
Now this radar, which is the most advanced commercial radar for space tracking in the world, what it does is it sends radio signals into space. As Franklin said, even an object the size of a golf ball traveling at 30,000 kilometers per hour overhead, a tiny amount of those radio waves will bounce off it and can be picked up by these giant reflector dishes behind us.
Costa Rican President Carlos Alvarado also joined by American and domestic astronauts during the event. The radar can monitor objects that transit in low Earth orbit near the equator, an average or an advantage offered by Costa Rica's geographical location.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A museum in London has transformed its gift shop into a mini supermarket selling artist-designed food to help an industry largely affected by the coronavirus pandemic. The Design Museum has reopened its shop with the help of 10 artists. It sells essential products with packaging designed by emerging artists. The market offers goods at the same price of normal markets, both online and at a marketplace. The initiative is led by Camille Walala, who says her project is aimed at supporting the artists reeling from the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, the project is to support artists, and I think because obviously at the moment there's no exhibition, people can't really show any of their creative work, and it's nice to have like a feedback when you're creative. It's nice to know, you know, if people like your work. I think this is a really nice platform to just bring artwork on like everyday product, and actually people are going to probably come and just buy them and probably keep them as a piece of art, like, you know, an affordable piece of art from some artists that you like. I think it's a really nice way to display art, so yeah, I think.
Walala says the project also conveys the message that creativity is as important for living as the other essentials. She says the creative supermarket will also help the museum, which has seen a drop of more than 90% in income because of the pandemic. The shop is open for just 5 days, but artists expect heavy demand. In Hong Kong schools, robots are helping children with autism to live a better life. These robots are part of an educational program called Robot for Autism Behavioral Intervention, or RABI. It's designed for individuals with autism between 3 and 18 years of age and aims to make them more social. The robots engage the children with role-playing and verbal interaction, helping them to resolve issues such as conflicts and bullying. The program was developed by a Hong Kong professor, Catherine So. She says the program will help fight social deprivation of a certain group of people.
We would believe that RABI can help them to, you know, improve their social and behavioral skills, and in turn, enhancing their quality of their life. So to reduce being excluded in the society, and also help them to be included in the future.
Catherine says using robots also helps keep the program structured and predictable, as autistic people are hypersensitive to voices and facial expressions. The program she launched in 2015 has now been adopted in more than 20 nonprofit groups and public schools in the country. More than 1,200 children have used it so far.
The worldwide trends show people rapidly moving toward modern vehicles now, especially electric cars. But Parisians saw a very unusual kind of EV driving around the city, similar to the one people were using over a century ago. A replica of the 1881 vehicle by French inventor Gustave Prouve was made to celebrate what is regarded as the 140th anniversary of the first viable electric car. Prouve, who is believed to have driven the world's first electric car, combined a rechargeable battery and a cycle, something very similar to a modern e-bike. The car has a motor to assist you, but you can still pedal at the same time.
So Gustave Prouve, when he combined an electric motor, a rechargeable battery and a cycle very similar to this one, that would be one of the earliest, if not the earliest, electric vehicle to be seen on the roads.
A Victorian cycle engineer built the vehicle in North Yorkshire, England. It took him some 2 months to come up with the replica, with materials that closely match those used by Prouve himself. Like the original, it has an average speed of approximately 16 kilometers per hour. NASA's small helicopter has made history as it successfully completed its flight on Mars. Receiving instructions from Earth, Ingenuity managed to rise to about 3 meters, hovered for 30 seconds, and then landed on the red planet. The mission marked the first powered, controlled flight on another planet. The helicopter weighs only 1.8 kilograms, has four legs, and is powered by solar panels. Flying a helicopter on Mars is hard because there is not much air to push against to generate the necessary lift.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Allah's salutations be upon all of you, dear friend, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan. So welcome to this program, today's special. The topic of this episode is repentance. If not in Ramadan, then when?
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today Tuesday is the 14th of the month of Ramadan 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar corresponding to the 7th of Ordibehesht 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 27th of April 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the first moment of today's special, so we'll listen to chapter Al-Baqara, verse 222.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa yas'alunaka 'anil mahiyd. Qul huwa adan fa'tazilun nisaa'a fil mahiyd. ولا تقربوهن حتى يطهرن فإذا تطهرن فأتوهن من حيث أمركم الله إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين.
And they asked you about menstruation. Say, it is harm, so keep away from wives during menstruation. Do not approach them until they are pure. And when they have purified themselves, then come to them from where Allah has ordained for you. Indeed, Allah loves those who are constantly repentant and loves those who purify themselves.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The term repentance means return from sin and regret from disobedience to the command of Allah. The main pillars of repentance are three. The acknowledgement that the one has ignorantly disobeyed the commandment of Allah formerly. To feel sorry about that action. A firm decision upon its abandonment in the future and making an effort to make up for the past. Repentance, if not in Ramadan, then when? One of the graces of Allah towards His slaves and servants is that He has made frequent for them seasons of good where He has varied the types of the acts of worship. Seasons that come to them each year when a person indulges in amusement with children and money and forgets his Lord that disrupts the rituals of his religion is being drawn to the devil, so he practices all kinds of sins during his heedlessness and slumber. So the month of Ramadan comes to awaken him from his slumber, to lead him to his Creator, and to invite him to renew his repentance. The month of Ramadan reserves repentance to be renewed in it, and in it good deeds are multiplied and sins are erased. And his slips are reduced and ranks are raised for whomever who is worthy of this. For he who knows Ramadan well and who performs the due acts of worship to Allah faithfully and diligently.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم يا كريم. Welcome to today's special, dear brothers and sisters. Now, today we're going to be talking about repentance and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the intention of not returning to our sins. The fact is that every human being falls into sins. It's not something out of the norm. We are all sons of Adam. We all have this ignorance in us that sometimes we forget, sometimes we don't know, sometimes we let our desires better our mind and mentality and intellect, and it does drive us down. At the same time of us being in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, we also have to keep in mind the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful upon his believers that he states to his angels that he states in the Holy Quran actually that he loves those who repent, those who state they or intend of not returning to the sins they committed in the future and are in grave regret of what they committed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts them and lets them return to him and blesses them in this life and the hereafter. So this mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon us is a door for us to not forget that there is mercy even if we committed the ugliest of sins. And this month is the month of mercy. This month is the month of us returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors and put a table spread and made the best of food and the best of drinks for the best of creations and asked and invited us actually to this feast in this holy month. This feast is not about chicken and turkey and ham. This feast is about the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, this is the chance of Bani Adam, the sons of Adam, the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their sins and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their falls, to stand up on their feet.
Ramadan. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhata ar-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Repentance is an act of worship. Repentance is an act of worship and closeness to Allah before being a means of recanting mistakes. Rather, it is one of the greatest and dignified acts of worship. It leads to the love of Allah Almighty. Repentance includes the whole of Islam. It is the utmost goal of every believer in all his conditions and times. The whole religion is included in the notion of repentance. Thus, the repentant deserves to be loved by Allah because Allah loves those who repent and loves those who purify themselves. Allah loves those who obey His commands and those who refrain from performing His prohibitions. Repentance is quitting what Allah hates both inwardly and outwardly. In its notion, there is Islam, faith, and Ihsan, that is to be patient in performing your duties to Allah totally for Allah's sake.
اشرح صدري قرآن، املأ قلبي قرآن.
This is Ramadan 1442 and acceptance of repentance in any time. It is from the mercy of Allah that He accepts the repentance of His servants at any time of day or night. It does not benefit Him, the Almighty, the obedience of the obedient, nor does it harm Him, the sin of the sinners. The Prophet has said, Allah, the Exalted and Glorious, stretches out His hand during the night so that the people repent for the fault committed from dawn till dusk, and He stretches out His hand during the day so that the people may repent for the fault committed from dusk to dawn. That means He would accept repentance before the sun rises from the west, before the day of resurrection. If a person is asked to repent all the time, the repentance in Ramadan is emphasized because it is a great month when the mercies of the Lord of the worlds descend, but it needs from people to commit to be demands of Allah. Where are those who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins? Is there any one of us who is innocent of sin?
Now, there is something important here, that true tawbah is a tawbah, or that repentance, that intention of not returning to sins is available and will be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala, if it comes sincerely from the heart. Yet, at the same time, it's harder for a person to fall into sin, then ask tawbah, than to stay away from the sin itself. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam states this in various sayings. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in various sayings state this concept, that falling into sin is harder, asking tawbah after falling into sin is harder than staying away from the sin altogether. So, and the reason behind that is that give me certainty that you will do tawbah. Give me certainty that you will die a believer. Give me certainty that you won't do the sin again. So the idea of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah and for forgiveness is a door, but it should not be taken advantage of when in our lives, in our actions, and you know, it shouldn't be a cause for us to fall into sins, into things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept. Brothers and sisters, thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys enjoy the show. For another Today Special, please join us again. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
That was all for this episode of Today's Special. I invite you to listen to our next episode, inshallah. May Allah keep all of you safe. Fi amanillah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.